This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to a very special edition of Make It Plain. Big news. There's a brand new podcast dropping. We want to tell you all about it. And we have some of the, not only stars, but those who wrote it, directed, produce it. One of whom is no stranger to the Make It Plain audience. We're happy to welcome back the executive producer of Red for Revolution, which won at Tribeca. Renee Wilson is in Red for Revolution as well as being the executive producer. Renee, welcome back to Make It Plain. We appreciate you. Good to see you again. We also have with us Jana Naomi Smith. She's the writer, director, and creator. Welcome, Jana. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. Congratulations on everything. And then the lead playing in the role of Jasmine James in Red for Revolution is Jordan Hull. Jordan, welcome. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Good. Glad to have you. And last but not least, our brother is here, Alimi Ballard. He plays Leroy in Red for Revolution. My brother, how are you?
I'm doing well, brother. Thank you for having me. Appreciate you all.
Well, congratulations to all of you. You know where I want to start, though, Jan? I want to start with you. Tell everyone what happened at Tribeca.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you first for having us. And also thank you for coming to Tribeca. So you got to be there to witness that wonderful day. Well, we premiered at Tribeca in June. And, you know, the audience was very enthusiastic about our show and our project. So that was really heartwarming to see people resonating with the project. And then a couple days later at the awards, we took home the top prize in our category for audio fiction at Tribeca. And I know Renee will probably say that she saw it coming, but I did not. So I was
Why not?
Very
why didn't you see it coming?
Why didn't I see it coming? Well, I think, you know, when you're creating something and you've been around it for so long, it's easy to get lost in that. And you never know how, you just never, it's a big risk. You know, Renee and I going on this journey together. You have no idea from the start to the end if anything will be any good or if people will resonate with it. And, you know, so it was a leap of faith. And I didn't know where we were going to end at the end of the journey, but it did end in a big Tribeca win, so I'm very happy, but I definitely did not, you know, go in with that expectation.
And so, Renee, you always knew, is that what she's saying? You always knew this was going to happen?
I did always know. I just had a feeling. I knew we needed to submit to Tribeca. You know, I get a million emails sometimes from, like, Film Freeway or whatever, and I never open them, and then, like, I had Tribeca kind of in the back of my mind. I was like, I know that's coming up. It's coming up. And we were just like, we were like in post. We were working. Mm-hmm. And I got this email. I said, let me open this up. And it was like, submissions for the Tribeca Festival do blah, blah, blah. And I was like, we need to get up in here, you know? And so I just felt like the whole time it was just kind of divine timing. All the signs, all the lanes were pointing go. And, you know, we got it together. We got our first episode in. And then, like, we took home the whole thing. And it was just amazing. And everyone here on this call was there. And the love was in the room, palpable. And we went, you know, I had a feeling. And my son was like, don't say if you win, say when you win. I was like, yes, sir. I'm going to say when we win. So I really always held that. I was holding that vision for all of us. And I wanted it. And I just knew it was going to happen. So when it happened and they actually called our names, it was like, you know, so it was a really good feeling.
Great, great. Jordan, you're the lead. You're excited about the podcast dropping and about the whole project? How'd you get involved?
I'm super excited. I got involved because through Jennifer Beals, we worked together on The L Word, and she was just over the moon with this project and kind of got me connected and got to know everybody. And I'm so, it's like one of those things where you don't, the best things are kind of unexpected. Like it wasn't the traditional route to a project. It was just through like good people. And it's been a really, really cool journey.
You said it wasn't just, so does that mean most of the projects, the route is through bad people? That's troubling. Not unbelievable though, not unlikely. I just want to, you know.
Well, yeah.
Good, you know, we got good people for a change. Lord have mercy. I know that to be a fact. These are good people.
Yeah.
No question. Ali, me, what about you? How'd you get involved?
I was involved through Renee. She had reached out. I'm not sure if she reached out directly or it came through management or agent or not. But I remember, you know, hearing the title of it and going, wow, I wonder what that is, you know, and taking a read and being completely smitten by it, you know, with a beautiful world created. And I was like, oh yeah, I would love to lend some spirit, to lend some energy to that story. What a unique story. Just like that.
No, that's wonderful. Had either of you been avid followers of podcast dramas in general? No, me either. I mean, I listen to some.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I don't know about you. I'm one of those kind of people. I don't always, you know, I do my show, but I don't always like to listen to myself. And I stumbled upon one. I don't remember who did it, Renee, but someone did a really incredible podcast drama, kind of biographical piece on Louis Armstrong. I could probably look it up. And it was so entertaining listening, you know, because what the audio does, it expands the imagination. I was like, that's really cool. So when Renee even called Unworthy Me and asked me to be involved, I was so touched and excited because it is great. Folks, it is excellent. It sounds great. You will get lost in it. Jana, tell us a little, without giving too much away, because I want everybody to listen to it and download it. Tell us a little bit about the story and how this even came about. It's really an extraordinary story.
Oh, wow. Every time someone poses that question, it's such a loaded, you'd think it would be a basic one, but it's so loaded and it can take forever to articulate how the series came to be and what it's about. But let me tell folks just a bit of what it's about first. And essentially, as you pointed out, Mark, it is a fictional story told completely through sound. So this is an experience, an immersive experience for your mind and your ears. And essentially, there have been numerous iterations in various forms of Red for Revolution, from a short film, it turned into a TV pilot, and then eventually adapted it into this audio format. And like I said, at each turn, I had a different reason for approaching the story, but my reasoning behind adapting it into the audio form had a lot to do with the overwhelming amount of homophobia that I was witnessing at the time a few years ago. And that really angered me. And in response to that anger I was feeling, I set out to, you know, rid the world single-handedly of homophobia by making an audio project.
Come on. I'm with you.
I say that jokingly, but that's really what I felt. I felt an urgent need to sort of counter the homophobic noise that I was witnessing. But prior to that, I simply wrote this story because I was applying to grad school, and we were given a prompt in the application that had to do with love at first sight. And I wanted to sort of subvert the cliche notion of love and do something different that wasn't about romance or even platonic love. And I decided to sort of write a short scene about love, of movement, of revolution. And that scene is still in the show. So if you tune in on February 4th to the first episode, you will get to hear what I'm talking about. And then from there, I've just really always been, even from a young as a youngster, and this is something Renee and I bonded over when we first met, being kids who were really enraptured by the Lena Horns of the world and the Abby Leakins of the world. And, you know, later when I was in college, being coming into knowledge about the Angela Davises and Asada Shakurs and the Erica Huggins of the world. And I sort of wanted to tell a story that celebrated these women who have had a tremendous impact on my life.
No, and it is a tremendous story. The love story and the revolution and the love for revolution. Renee knows I love revolution. That's probably my one of my full-time jobs. So, Renee, how did you get involved in this? And what does this story mean to you?
Well, I knew you were going to be perfect for it. I just want to address that. So there was none of this wishy-washy. I was like, my brother is a revolutionary and loves love and in all the forms. So I'm just really grateful that you were able to join us on this journey. I mean, your voice is amazing. So thank you. And for me, well, Jaina and I met, I don't know how many years ago it is now, what, 5 maybe?
I don't got to say the number.
Yeah, no numbers. but we met because we had both entered this film kind of competition with our scripts, and we both won. We were one of maybe, I don't know, 10 finalists, and this company was going to make our work. But then, like, I was having, like, some issues on my side with the legal, and I was like, And then Jaina posted something on a film group we're in, and she's like, oh, I won this award. I'm looking for a DP or something like that. And so I just wrote to her. I was like, hi. I also won. I was just curious if you wanted to talk. So then we started chopping it up, and I was like, yeah, I'm having a bad experience too. And so basically we both decided to pull out of that whole experience. So we met kind of in a bad situation, but it brought us together. And then maybe a year later, Jaina sent me an email with her pitch deck and the scripts and was saying that she was going to make this podcast. And she wondered if I knew any friends in LA in New York who were musicians, because I'm a musician as well. And I said, well, yeah, let me take a look at it. And I'll see who I can think of. And so I was reading everything. And literally the moment I opened the documents and I was sitting in the bathroom, like reading it and trying to be quiet, not to wake up anybody in my house. And I stayed up till like 2 o'clock in the morning, just reading what she sent me, the scripts. And I was immediately drawn in. I was enthralled. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I just sent her an email. I don't remember what I said, but like, do you have more scripts? This is amazing. I'm so excited you're making this. And la, 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 la. And then, you know, I read and I was like, can I please like help you make this? And so that was how we became partners in this. I just really loved it and believed in it from the start. I felt like it was a story that needed to be in the world, and I wanted to bring whatever I could to the table to help make that happen. And it really began with Jaina and then the two of us to what we see now. So it's really just a testament to just faith and belief and divine order.
So let me just say to the audience, Renee was talking about my role. I have, so no one runs from the podcast. My role is not that big, so don't worry about that. I have a sort of a cameo kind of playing myself almost as a host. So you all will definitely want to check this out. It is excellent. Jordan, in spite of me, Jordan, the role that you play in the lead, did you find any affinity with that lead character, Jasmine?
Yes, of course. I think what I really connected to it was just being a young queer person and dealing with the intergenerational gaps and how to bridge the gap between people's relationship with their sexuality. Also, like her relationship with her grandmother and elders. And I just thought that's a thing that I know it's very near and dear to me as Jordan. So to do that through Wolfsman was like the point of, you know, being an actor. Like it was just a really awesome experience.
Alimi, how did you relate to Leroy?
One of the things I love best about this character, and I think for me, what made me want to jump in and lend spirit to it, right? Lend my voice to it, is they love revolution, right? So I got that. Ella, the young Ella, they love revolution, right? But their love is so pure for, at least his love is so pure for it. He's a male, right? In a time where views toward who you love were so constricted, right? And they still are in very a lot of parts of the world. But for him, it didn't even register that she loves who she loves, right? Mm-hmm. His issue was the kind of person she was. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's looking at the singer like, you love her? Like, not because she's a woman, but like, well, her interest, is she about revolution? Like, right. It goes right past him that it's a woman. That doesn't mean anything to him. Mm. You know, if you're committed to the cause. And I'm like, that's my dude. You know what I mean? You dating a zebra? The zebra ain't about the revolution, sister. Like, he's so locked in to positive change. Mm. Not that he knows how to do it. Not that he has all the answers. But that desire, that intention, and working toward it. It's like he's so into the revolution and the true desire for it, you know? And he sees her as a peer, as a sister, and part of the brain trust. You know, he just wants her to stay locked in the revolution and not start chasing somebody who's going to take your interest into fur coats and nonsense, you know? And I love how simply, that's like a natural goodness to me. Mm. I saw him. He didn't have to work to understand that she loves who the hell she loves. And I'm like, that's my dude. I would love to present that guy through my spirit. And that's what completely pulled me in. And then all the other pieces of it, you know, my mom comes up in this time. You know, I can get into my dad, my mom, and, you know, growing up in that world, my mom was part of the Grand Dessa Models with Kwame Brathwaite, you know, back in the 60s. They coined the term Black and Beautiful. That happened at a fashion show in Harlem in 1962. My mom, when I was a kid, I'm from the Bronx, bro. My mom used to tell me she's a model. My mom's a short little round brown girl. I used to be like, my mom be telling the craziest stories to me. I'm like, why she be lying so much? And so a couple of years ago, it was at an art gallery, a very fancy art gallery, and hosted by, you know, Kwame, the son of Kwame Brathwaite, Kwame Brown, Brathwaite Jr., and what's my man? Jesse Williams, you know, actor, political activist. And there was an exhibit called Black is Beautiful. And I'm looking at a poster of my mom in all African garb from 1968. I'm still in heaven with the baby Jesus. I ain't even born for a couple of years yet. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at the photo. So she's actually a part of a seminal aspect of American culture. So she wasn't telling me tall tales. I'm like, look, mom, who you modeling where? I'm like, I just see my mom look like Naomi Campbell. She chocolate and tall and beautiful. I'm like, okay, mom, you model. I'm a little tiny little brown lady, round. I'm like, what was you modeling, girl? And so this story takes place in the time that would have affected her work. You know, she would have lived right through this moment. You know what I mean? That came out of Jaina and her creativity. You know what I mean? So I just felt like there's a texture of it that, you know, definitely is connected to me, and that I could see my mom living in this world. And then Leroy being so, so imperfectly beautiful. I loved it.
Now, and the other thing too, Jaina, in addition to the big stars we have here today, you've got some pretty, pretty other big heavyweights in here too, don't you? Tell us about some of those folks.
We do indeed. So we have Miss Rutina Wesley playing Ella Ali in the 1970s. So she plays opposite Renee for most of the show. She and Lorraine Giovanni are telling this really epic love story. We have Miss Loretta Devine, who plays Lorraine Giovanni in the present day. And, you know, she was just also magnificent and really wonderful to work with. We have Essie Patha Merkinson, who plays Ella Ali in the present. So that's Jordan's, AKA Jasmine's grandmother, the revolutionary. And we also have Miss Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, who popped up, and she was actually our first yes, the first person to say yes to being in this project. We have Jennifer Beals, and as you know, she's how we got connected to Jordan And I will just say that that was such a divine thing that happened. We had tried to cast a couple people, and for whatever reason, those things didn't work out. And we were sort of scrambling, didn't know who we were going to cast. And so when Jennifer pitched Jordan, that all really came together really beautifully. We have Mr. Danny Glover in the series. We're so honored that he agreed to take part in this as well. I mean, the cast is really stacked, as they say, with a lot of phenomenal, phenomenal talent. Wonderful people who really showed up and showed out for us, even when we didn't necessarily, all of us are new to this. So new to this form and new to this experience. And so many folks didn't even know who we were. And they lent their voice and their time to this project. So we're really grateful for that.
And Renee, that says a lot about the gravity and the caliber of the project, doesn't it? That all of these monumental folks wanted to be involved in.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the story just really resonated with folks. And we as a team, you know, we've always done our best to not just have it be about the work, that the love is there, that the experience is there. And when we fall over ourselves, we come back, we apologize, we take responsibility. We just really tried to have our core kind of belief of radical love and love be a part of the whole process. And I feel like that came through in how we expressed ourselves about this project. I mean, the work in itself is phenomenal. And I think a lot of people saw themselves in it and wanted to be a part of it. And we had a wish list of people, and everybody said yes. Maybe one person. Then we have Vanessa E. Williams. It was just like blowing our mind, like almost every time. And Jordan is one of our associate producers, and Jordan's amazing. I mean, we could not have asked for a better.
I feel like you're really talking about me, Renee. I'm sorry to interject.
I'm getting to you.
I think when I came on board, I think it was something, not Danny Glover or Loretta Devine, because I think it was, anyway, I digress, I apologize.
Oh, no, I'm getting to you. Because I feel like you and I never met. We just kind of liked a couple of Instagram photos or something. And I remember when we were thinking about who to cast for your role, I was like, I really just think this is the brother for it. You know, I said, I don't know this man, but I just like his spirit on Instagram and what he talks about and what he stands for. And we sent a note to your reps and you were like, yes. Like right away, like you didn't even read it. You didn't know, you know, you just came to it. And so that was happening all the time, Mark. And not just with our cast, with our crew, with everyone who had showed up for us, like every step of the way, we just have angels all around this project. So.
Well, yeah. And obviously a lot of great people. It led me, and I don't know everybody's name, you know, I don't know if we have time to get in all that, but as one who has listened and done audio for most of his life, even the quality of the audio production is exquisite. So we don't take any of that for granted. Shout out to the people who put all that together, the editors and all of that. This is really, really great. So now, Jaina, you said this was a short film at first and then a pilot and had those iterations. So you know what's going on now. Now, podcasts are becoming major motion pictures. So what are we talking about here? I mean, that's because as Renee knows, now full disclosure, I just had a small role in this, but you know, once you get a taste of it, you can't let it go. I was in Fahrenheit 9/11, and brother Alimi, I haven't had nothing since then. Wesley. Taking all the roles, I thought, and Terrence, I thought that would be my shot.
Yes.
Nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I'm still going for the first Black 007. I'm gonna try out for that. But anyway, hopefully this will catapult me. Jaina, how are you feeling about that? This could really get even bigger.
I mean, that has always been the goal, to take it as far as it can go. So, you know, whoever is watching this, if you have any resources, particularly in the form of a check to write, to produce a feature film or a television adaptation of the series, we're ready to go. That ain't nothing but a thing. We are all ready. to take it to the next level. So we're going to see. We hope that people tune in on February 4th to listen to our show and that it resonates with people. And then we're in it for the long haul.
Lastly, Jordan, what was different about preparing for a role for a podcast versus preparing for a role on screen?
It's a good question. I think I automatically associate that to, you know, radio plays. Like, that's where, like, the start of most, like, film. I know a lot of, like, vaudevillian TV, and, like, it's sort of the original, like, technique. So I think the condition was just getting back to basics, to technique, and knowing how to concentrate a performance into just your voice.
Alimi, is this the same as voice acting? Have you done that before? I mean, some people act, some people, I don't think a lot of people do, you know, start out training as voice actors at first, but some more doing it now. Is that what this is? Did you have to approach it that way? How did you get prepared for this as opposed to being on screen?
Oh, for me, it came, but I've done some voice work, you know what I mean? And so the technique involved in that for me is knowing how to stand still and don't move out of the microphone. Like, when you start acting for the camera, not for the theater, you have to figure out that, you know, you're lit. So you're going to be on chocolate. So they're going to light you. So if you move out of your light, black man, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be in the dark. So that's what going, you know, from the theater and man to go into doing, you know, soap operas in New York and then going to do sitcom work, film work, and television work. You have to be, you have marks. They have, you know, camera focus. So doing the studio work, doing voiceover work, you can't move outside. You're not body mic'd. It's a stationary mic. And you're broadcasting into with your voice and your spirit right there. So it's very much familiar with locking into a camera and knowing that all of your energy needs to go in that direction. So I had done some work before, and so I was able to have to rely on that, know that technique. But I'm like a method kind of actor. So once I closed the wall, you know, I remember doing some wonderful stuff with Renee. We just went off script, because once the character, the character descends upon me, I'm like, I'm so locked into the world. I'm like, I can get on a bus in that character and be talking shit all day. So we did great improv, me and Renee. It was beautiful.
And I'm sure it was. And of course, Renee, you are Lorraine Giovanni in the 70s. Loretta Devine is present day. You all are playing the same role. But the blessing too is, for those of you who don't know, many in the audience already know, Renee is a vocalist. And so we get to hear Renee as well.
Yes, the blessing for me to be able to use all my talents from behind the scenes to my voice to sing and to be able to act really is a dream come true. It's just like all the things I love in one role. So much of the music is original music that, you know, came together so beautifully. Jaina and Tammy L. Hall, Grammy winner Tammy L. Hall, who's a dear friend and just magnificent composer, and Jaina, the lyricist, and, you know, anyways, it's so much magic. So thank you. And also Jordan has a gorgeous voice and lent her voice to our series as well. So I'm so excited for everybody to hear everyone's brilliance. You sing. So yeah, I'm just excited for everybody to hear it, you know, and it's finally here after our journey of just doing the path, doing the work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's amazing. And one last question, Jaina, had Will Red for Revolution end homophobia in the world?
I don't know. Anything is possible, you know. Now, that was a huge undertaking, and I do think a number of artists we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do very unrealistic things. And that was a unrealistic pressure, motivating nonetheless. We are all here today because of it. But will this project end homophobia altogether? Probably not. But I do hope that it is a vessel for healing and that it does help to make our world more loveful. So we'll see. I also want to give out a shout out to, you talk about the music and the sound design and all of these wonderful things. Our music director, Tammy Hall, is Renee mentioned, but our sound designer, we only had one sound designer. So one individual person who did the sound design for our show, and his name is Colin Thomas. And our producer, Liz McBee, has been on this journey with us for quite some time. So this project would not be here without their lovely and wonderful work as well.
Absolutely.
Do any of you, did I leave anything out? Any of you have any closing thoughts or anything? And also, Jana, you got to give everybody the instructions. Let's get real specific. Give everybody their marching orders, their logistics. February 4th, where it drops, where to hear it, all of that.
All right. February 4th, the first episode premieres, and you can listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts. So if you have Spotify, you can listen on Spotify. If you have Apple Podcasts, you can listen on Apple. If you have the iHeart app, you can listen on iHeart. If you're subscribed to Radiotopia, you can listen to Radiotopia, our wonderful partners in this journey as well. If you got a YouTube, you can go on YouTube. We're putting the show everywhere. So, you know, head to redforrevolution.com to get all that information. February 4th, and then every week following February 4th, a new episode will be airing wherever you get your podcasts.
That's wonderful. Renee or Jordan or Alimi, any closing thoughts? Anything else you'd like to share?
Yes. It's a lean into love. You know, I am very grateful that this piece of artistry encourages people to lean into their humanity, you know, lean into your spirit. There's an energy in our world right now to lean into cruelty, you know, brutality, you know, to narrow-mindedness, quite possibly posing as self-righteousness. that clown work right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that it encourages to lean into your humanity. What does your soul say? Inside of you is wisdom. Inside of you is beauty. And we as a human species need to lean into that. That's the gold. That's a goal, and that's the goal of our spirit. And so I encourage you to listen to it and watch how it promotes humanity. Discovering and uncovering yourself, following where, you know, your spirit leads you. This is a beautiful thing. So I want people to listen and be encouraged and be inspired by it. Maybe be delighted. So.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely is a thing, beauty. Jordan, any closing thoughts?
That too. What he said, yeah.
Indeed. Renee will give you the last word.
Oh, it's just incredible. And it really is a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of art. So please tune in, you know, join us on all the socials, Red for Revolution on Instagram. Come follow, be a part of our story. You know, it doesn't end when the series ends. We want to come to your school. We want to come to your event. We want to come to your series and do listening events and partnerships and all kinds of things. So reach out to us and keep that love alive, you know, and we can do it. So it's all love.
Red for Revolution, y'all. Wherever you get your podcasts, please download and share it. Let everybody know about it. It's an incredible project. You know, just one other thing to say, this also vindicates having you all here on with me. Because, you know, you always got a handful of Black relatives who don't believe nothing you tell them. I say, y'all, I'm involved in the project and one in Tribeca. You ain't in no Tribeca. But you in Tribeca. You ain't with no Tribeca. So these are the type of things that help vindicate my life. Yeah. I appreciate that. And let folks know I'm telling the truth. Jana, Jordan, Renee, Alimi, all part of Red for Revolution. This is great, y'all. You are going to love it. Please partake in it. Frankly, I think it's timely in this moment of great cruelty, backlash and white lash for us to do something beautiful that we can enjoy and that we can all share in. Trust me on that one. So you all be sure to take part in it. Thank you all for joining me today. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of this project.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you're doing, too, especially over this last year. There are very few people have been out here speaking truth to power, and you've been consistent every day. So
thank you. Give thanks. Red for Revolution, y'all. Check it out everywhere.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.